From 1 Corinthians 13, 1 through 13, we hear these words. These words of encouragement. These words of hope. And these words of commissioning. If I speak in the tongues of mortals and of angels, but do not have love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give away all my possessions, and if I hand over my body so that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not envious or boastful or arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices in the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. But as for prophecies, they will come to an end. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will come to an end. For we know only in part, and we prophesy only in part. But when the complete comes, the partial will come to an end. When I was a child, I spoke like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became an adult, I put an end to childish ways. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then we will see face to face. Now I know only in part, then I will know fully, even as I have been fully known. And now faith, hope, and love abide, these three. The greatest of these is love. Friends, this is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Have you picked up a telephone and made a call to maybe a billing company or some place of business? And when we call in, we get an automated phone message. And it says, for English, press 1. For Spanish, press 2. For all others, press 3. Or if you need help with customer service, press 4. You see, people generally want to know what language we speak so that we can communicate most effectively. And when I say this, I would ask you, what is the language that Christians speak? What is the language that Christians speak to enable them to speak the most effectively? What is your language? What button do we need to press to communicate in love? If you are married or have been to a wedding, you most likely have heard the passage of Scripture that we share this morning. It's a poetic statement of the meaning, character, and power of love. But what I caution is this, is that this Scripture does not only apply to weddings, and we will miss the greater theological meaning if we confine it to services of marriage. Keep in mind, when the Apostle Paul delivered this message, he was doing so after he had followed with words regarding unity and regarding spiritual gifts. Love in itself is a gift. Love in itself is something that unifies. Today, as we hear these words, we find deep meaning within this Scripture regarding what it means to love and what it means to be loved. When Jesus was asked what the greatest commandment was, Jesus responded by saying that love God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. That is the greatest and the first commandment. But he didn't stop there. Right after that, he followed up by saying, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Hear that again. You shall love your neighbor as yourself, and that on these two commandments hang all the laws and the prophets. Hence we find the true importance of love, for without love, nothing exists. Nothing else exists without love. And if we truthfully and fully live in love, we have no choice but to be obedient to all the other commandments. It doesn't matter what you have, who you are, what position you hold, or what power or gift that you have. If you do not love, you are nothing of importance, and you will gain nothing. Gestures or symbolic actions without love are useless. Saying that we love without living a life of love is a lie. Love is described as patient and kind, and is not to be boastful, rude, or hurtful. Love involves give and take and only rejoices when truth and justice are carried out. Love acknowledges that people are different, but that each are worthy because of God's grace and God's mercy. And love is something that grows stronger over time, and it endures forever. So friends, where is it that we apply this principle of love to our lives? How does it apply to our service to the Lord, our interaction with our neighbors, and in our own lives, our own personal challenges? What language is it that we choose to speak? First, we hear to love God and to love our neighbor. We love God in worship. We love God in service. We love God in obedience. We love God in prayer. And we love God when we love other people. We love our neighbor no matter who they are or the degree of difference they demonstrate from our own perceptions and our own beliefs. During our upcoming series on the hard topics in Christianity, we will visit some of the more pressing issues and controversial places where people may vary greatly from what we believe a Christian should look like and how we believe a Christian should behave. And notice I said that we believe. I didn't say anything about God believing. I said that we believe they should be. Because as I say this, I remind you that every person who sits here today has sinned. And we've all been less than perfect on many occasions in our life. Being obedient in love means that we love all of God's creation, because He created all humankind in His own image and His own likeness. Therefore, every person is worthy of love. We can agree to disagree, but we cannot disagree in love. Loving others is not always easy, but it is the just and the right thing to do. I ask you these things. Where are the battles, the scars, and the pains in your life? Where has the world taken its toll on you? And in response to that, I tell you that love is that expression of grace, that expression of mercy, that expression of caring, and that expression of acceptance that can ease the intensity of these hurts in your life. Love truly does solve the problems in our lives. It reduces conflict, and it breaks that bondage that we have to this world. It breaks those regrets of where we may have fallen short of the glory in the past. Living in love is much healthier than living in conflict. Living in love is much healthier than living in hate. And living in love is much healthier than harboring unresolved anger. What love does is promotes more love. Love causes love, while hate and resentment grow as an abscess within our body and within our world. God's grace meets us where we are, and at that place we feel love. Hear that again. God's grace meets us right where we are, no matter who we are, and at that place we feel love. We also feel love when someone walks up to us and says, "I'm going to pray for you today." We feel love when someone cries with us when we're going through a difficult time. And we feel love when we acknowledge that our God is all powerful and that our God will never let go of this, let go of us. Going from this place today, will we choose to speak and live the universal language of love? Or will we remain set in our own preferences? As Christians, love is what we do. It is how we are to live. Following the model of Christ in love is truly a journey, and it may appear beyond our grasp. But what I can promise you is this, is once we reach that point where we live fully in love, I can only imagine that peace that will be revealed in our hearts. Friends, I now pray in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit that we each be empowered to love on the same level as Christ our Savior loved us. Amen.